It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the topic of conversation of feeding appetites. Now, Jeff, you know football season started, so you know I'm going to be cranking that appetite back up. I always got a pretty good appetite for food, I'm not going to lie on that. How about you? Do you ever find yourself like entertaining appetites a little too much and you got to take a step back?
Yeah, actually, I have, and it's been wonderful. It's hard because we've all, I don't doom scroll, but I do sometimes.
Yes, you do.
I'll tell you what I do. I got into a bad place where I was looking for doom news.
Yes.
And it came from a place where just wanting to know, like, you know, what's wrong with the world today. It started there, but it can actually become addictive where all you're doing is looking for bad news rather than looking for
so you started unintentionally training your mind to almost look towards a negative perspective.
I guess that's a way to see it and say it. I would say this. It was more like confirmation bias.
So you were going like, oh, see here, someone else is saying that this is really bad, like I already think it is. So now I hear it further, just... now I know it. Like that?
I'm trying to analyze myself here, so it's hard for me to pick apart my motivations. I think it was subliminal. I think it just kind of happened. Look, on the internet, you can find anything you want to find. I mean, you can. I mean, that's really the scariest thing. Whatever it is, it's no secret our world's broken. I would love to know. I would love to see Jesus come back. I'm hoping that I get to be that generation, but people have been saying that for 2,000 years, right?
Also, and in fairness, it's also no secret that the world's been broken since
absolutely.
Like the first two people.
Absolutely. Yeah. The difference is we have actual prophecies that Scripture gives us that we're told to pay attention to and look for. And so I think it started in a healthy place, and then it kind of went into a bad area where I wasn't looking for Jesus in the news. I was looking just for, what do they say, bad news sells?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it does. It can become addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the hardest part is it's poisonous.
100%.
I haven't turned it all off. I've just stopped. Whenever I'm wanting to go and look for that stuff, you know, and I have tons of news sites I look at, and I was finding I was just, something would catch my eye, and it was, of course, it's bad news. I'd click it, and once more, yep, there's the bad news. You know, I just stopped looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not exclusively, but I've limited myself to about 15 minutes a day.
So, what pulled you from the theater of the news?
It wasn't productive. Like, I was sitting there one evening going, "This is so unproductive." Like, okay. This isn't it's not healthy. It's not helping. It's not.
So you're kind of like, what? Even if I'm right.
Yeah. Even if it is.
Then what?
Yeah. Let's pretend that all news has no bias and no agenda. It's just simply telling you the truth. 100%. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I don't believe that, but let's just pretend, right? Pretend. There's no agenda. There's no narrative they're trying to sell you.
Can't even make believe this one.
Just work with me on this.
All right.
I'll put it in a term that everyone can understand. I forget how many minutes they say that if an ICBM was launched from Russia to hit us, what is it, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, would you want to know it's going to drop on top of your city and obliterate you? Or would you rather just find out when it happens? Because listen, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to change what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So is there really a benefit? It's not There's nothing I can do with that news except for...
You can get your final prayers in.
But shouldn't I be living ready anyway?
I mean, yeah.
I'm looking at the cost benefit here. This is occupying my time. And listen, I'm on the... we've talked about this. I'm on the last leg of my time. I got one foot in the grave. So I want to maximize my moments, not minimize
them. Waste them on doing
them. Yeah. So what...
What pulled you out of this? Do I get some credit for this? All my doom and gloom shaming of you finally pull you out of this space?
Maybe good. Some.
Are you going to be an optimist before it's all said and done?
I'm an eternal optimist now.
Woo!
No, I'm not.
There's hope.
I'm still a realist.
There's hope on the horizon.
I don't think that the appetite that I was feeding was healthy.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. So you put down your substance of doom and gloom news.
Mm-hmm.
Still use it. Just limited yourself to a healthier space. I mean, it's not bad to get to be informed, right?
Maybe. Again, what are you trying to gain from it, I guess, is probably the better question.
Well, that's just up to the individual.
Right. And my motivation...
I just think you like to be informed. I'm not saying everybody does. I think that's just you.
I like to know. I like to be in the know. I like to be able to make informed decisions.
I don't think that's an unreasonable or bad thing to like to know or to be informed.
No, it was out of bounds.
There you go.
It was out of bounds.
Bingo.
Out of balance. And so I recognized it and was like, you know what? I need to check that.
Got to get back on my other dancing foot too. Swaying too far to the left.
How about you? What you got?
Oh. Mine would be, my appetites would be, like I said, football season starting is always I get super excited about that. So I know that I'll over consume and overindulge in that if I'm not careful. Even honestly, if I am careful, I think in the beginning, I still over consume and overindulge a bit. Then, like I said, food, if I get into something that's a really good food for me, that's something that I'd struggle with, right? And lastly, I would say the thing for me would be the marijuana thing, man, would be I think I find myself in patterns of if I really want to sparse creativity or I really want to sit down and work on something and focus in on something, it doesn't take me. I feel like it has the opposite effect on me than it does most people. So I would agree with you that what works for me isn't necessarily what would be for someone else. Right. But I know that I can lead that into unhealthy places where, hey man, you don't need to be using this like every day out of the week, that type of a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's because for me, it doesn't put me in a place where I'm on the couch and out of it. It doesn't it would be no different than me having a cup of coffee or you having a cup as far as like, I would sit here and it's not, you're going to be, hey man, come on back down to earth.
I was watching the Sean Ryan show. This military guy's on there, old guy, who's probably one of the funnest I've watched in a while, the interview, him telling the stories. And but he was talking about in Vietnam, I think it was, where the old codger, man, mm-hmm. wise guy. But he was saying that there were times where soldiers went days without sleep. And he said that, I forget what the study found out, but after 24 hours of not sleeping, I forget what percentage of decline of your mental acuity has been arrested or just gone. It's like, but the craziest part was the soldiers had no idea. They thought they were operating and functioning still without diminished capacity. And then, so what they did is they, to prove it, I guess they've done studies on this where they give you a math test when you're rested. And then they gave you, again, they asked you, how are you feeling? Oh, I feel great. And they give you some caffeine or whatever, some stimulants. So you feel like you're awesome. And then have you take the math test? And man, they flunked it.
Because they thought they were good, but they weren't necessarily.
They were convinced they were fine. Like, I can go days without sleep. And the truth be had, the truth be known, based upon the evaluations that don't lie, you just thought you were okay. Is it possible that you think you're okay?
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Isn't that crazy? It's funny, again, confirmation bias. There's things that we want to believe. Sometimes that colors reality to the extent that we can't be honest even with ourselves. That's where I was like trying to be very careful. Like, you know, am I letting my bias get in the way of being honest?
Sure. And I mean, just like you explained to me, like, am I like, oh no, dude, I'm totally good. But like in reality, am I, maybe you're not as maybe good as good you think you are. That's right.
And I guess that's a good point is that, you know, okay, so we all have appetites and we're all feeding them. And so of all the appetites you are listening to, are you as good as you think you are?
I don't ever get in a space of that I think I'm that good to begin with. So I have that in the, off the jump, right, that I don't think I'm that good. But I see the point of in this space of like, do you think you're good in terms of like, oh, yeah, you're totally holding it together. You look just fine. Nobody have any clue that just like somebody having a cup of coffee, like I said, to where like, no, that's not the case at all. Like you actually could be 40% better than you're doing. Yeah, that's it's a tough and fair assessment. With these appetites, as people feed them, I mean, people can, you like you said, people can have an appetite for anything, right?
Yeah.
There's evil appetites. People can have appetites for murder, for destruction, for good. Sure.
Yeah.
When people have appetites for destructive things,
mm-hmm.
and I think we would say, well, hey, man, if you're obese, that's kind of destructive, right? But we don't say, we should ban all the forks in America for people who can't control their eating habits. We don't say that. Or,
well, car fatalities. We've had over 1,000 fatalities in Ohio last year. So we should ban cars to keep the public safe.
Right. Like that's not what we say, right?
No, well, it's not a real solution.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but then when we get to this issue of the pew-pew thing, we seem to say that if we just didn't have those, everything would be better. Nobody else would be committing crimes anymore. I'm kind of just like, I don't think the answer is getting rid of the device as much as it is maybe holding the person accountable for their lack of control over their appetite.
We have an appetite to want to be safe. And if you're not careful, was it a Ben Franklin quote? You will trade your freedom for safety. For example,
and wind up with neither.
If a study came out and the government said most robberies and carjackings and acts of violence occur at night, and therefore, in the name of public safety, we are going to require everyone be in at dark every single night. There's a curfew in for your safety, of course.
Dude, this happened actually a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. About 5 years ago. Yeah.
Don't forget that.
No, listen, and what you need to realize is you're really being sold a narrative. You're not really being given safety. You're being stripped of your freedom, and you're submitting to control and to somebody else's lies they call promises.
But all due to the lack of someone else's control over their own appetite.
Right, and they're playing on your appetite to want to feel safe and secure. Yeah, we're suckers, man. We are suckers. Going back to your little pew-pew thing, we talked about this Sunday. Do you know that this desire of the people who want to wreck this country, it's been in place in 1775. Great Britain tried to disarm the colonists of their stockpile of weapons and ammunition. Why? Because they wanted to prevent 1776. America wouldn't be here if they had given up and surrendered to that invading army trying to take their weapons. And I'm telling you, the agenda never ended. But most of us can't see the game being played.
Mm-hmm.
And we're being played. Sad, dude, that subway thing. Was it a subway or a train? What was it?
Like a rail liner.
Yeah.
Couple things I took away from the article.
People did nothing.
Well, he was released several times.
The justice system did nothing. The people trained did nothing.
Put back into society. Mm-hmm. And now this one here, more conspiratorial, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, you see a pattern of these crazy people making crazy claims.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
He says there's man-made technology in mm-hmm. him. What does that mean? I have absolutely zero idea.
Well, yeah, he called the police about because they said he did something to him.
I'm just saying, man, look back over the past few years and all these people who have like done these...
You ever saw the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson? That's all you're talking about. Yeah, dude. It's a guy, he's ex-military, and the government embedded something into him that made it, it's all about MK Ultra. Yeah, and they not only had special trigger words for him that would bring him into the other personalities.
Got it.
But they also embedded stuff where they could track him.
So they basically, in the movie, if they wanted to spur a reaction, they would say a phrase or a code word.
Catcher in the Rye. And they'd read something from Catcher in the Rye or whatever, and it would trigger the personality. They've done this trauma to you. And
well, considering, you know, we see tell a vision as programming, we have to imagine that, like, that idea comes from somewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, then based on that, why do all these people keep saying that?
It's real. It's real.
I think, too, when you can come out of the...
You see.
The theater, be like, oh, man, this is a movie going on. Not that there's not real events with real consequences taking place. Right. It's just that they're manufactured to occur to create an already predetermined outcome.
There are people who can see. And there are, and that's just it.
And not only are there people who can see, there are people who can see with authority and resources.
Right. Among those who can see, then there are those who know what to do with it.
Mm.
And that's a much smaller percent.
But I was going to say, when you can come out of that theater and see it as a movie, well, there goes most of the trauma falls off the shoulders at that point, right? Because you're like, well, man, this isn't traumatic because I know it's manufactured.
I remember coming out of some movies in high school, being all pumped up, wanting to get in a fight and whatever else. And that was the whole point of the movie, was to elicit a response.
Engaging.
Yeah, and it did. And I was like, and I thought to myself, what happened that I went in this way and I came out this way? No one suggested this to me. I was like, whoa, I just got programmed. And he's like, nuh-uh, that's scary.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, what's scary is how often it's happening. Movies, music, TV.
Well, what's porn do?
Pornography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're trying to...
popular culture of how to dress.
You're trying to
wear,
you're trying
to
create
say.
You're trying to not just create, but control a person through an appetite of some kind. Yeah, it's like, whoa.
How could we tie in what you were talking about yesterday about how we try to solve problems with, like, nonsensical solution? Like how you said, well, we should get out of forks or ban forks.
Yeah, ban forks.
Some people have an appetite for murder and destruction and chaos. And when they satisfy that, our response shouldn't be to take away their eating utensils.
I understand the allure of wanting to just stroll through life and enjoy the journey without any mindful consideration of the future or the present or the past. You just want to experience. I get that. The danger of that is you're still being led, whether it's by external or internal motivations. And it could be your own appetite that is a part of your human nature or quote unquote sinful nature, your evil desires, or, you know, it could also be stimulated or even suggested by an outside stimulation where they're creating an appetite or trying to draw you into one that is latent or buried, you know, like it's just lying under the surface that's not been awakened. And so then they throw, like pornography, and they throw something out there and then allure you to a particular place or behavior. And so you become controlled. And so in your mind, because you're not considering next steps, you're just kind of strolling through life. What you don't realize is you're being controlled. What we just described is a term that people think is a conspiracy, but it's called MK Ultra. I mean, this is, there's government studies they did, whether it was induced by propaganda or medication or trauma, but regardless, they found that they could stimulate people who didn't think to have a predictable response to certain stimuli and do things that they wanted them to do.
Even the, like, the man-made technology stuff aside,
yeah,
if there's certain types of frequency weapons or whatever there may be, we don't know, right?
We do know it exists. I'll tell you why. That what you just said. what do they call it? The Havana effect? Or
Havana syndrome.
It's syndrome. That's it. That's a Havana syndrome. And it actually destroys your brain. You're being subjected to some kind of high frequency wave. Look it up.
And didn't many like political figures report having issue with this?
Not just report. It wasn't just one person. It was multiple people in that same
room.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Havana syndrome. Look it up. Yeah, go keep going.
But I was gonna say, that aside, you can see anytime there's a major event or a major story, and now what's cool with all of these, you know, influencers making their own content and whatnot, people will put together these videos of just every different media source saying the exact same phrase over and over and over again.
Project Mockingbird.
Right, so you can see, hey man, there's a clear effort here to like say the phrase, program it into your mind, like safe and effective.
Yeah.
Follow the science.
Wow. Yeah. Which is a what do they call it? Not a bird call, but a virtue signal for you just to get in line, like they taught you in elementary school. Get in line and get your free lunch. You know, do what we say. Do what the authorities say. Don't think. Just do what you're told.
And it all always sounds good on the surface, right?
Great place to stop. And as we do, and we come back next, we can continue this conversation. Do you have any appetites that are not benefiting you, that you're feeding, that you need to cut off? If we're honest, we all are in a continual place of growth and trying to find a better place of health, mentally, physically, emotionally. But as we do that, be conscious of the stimuli that you are allowing yourself to participate in, and wean yourself off of the things that are not bringing forth the best version of yourself. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day in little things missed along the way. The symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be.
to you. See it, the roads lead back to you.